Welcome to the Government Technology Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Hunsaker. In this episode, we're taking a closer look at how federal agencies can use data to build meaningful and engaging customer experiences. Federal agencies are entering a new era of service delivery, and younger generations don't want to interact with government agencies in the same way as their parents or grandparents did. To meet this new generation of constituents, federal agencies need to use insights derived from constituent behavior to guide the digital transformation of federal service delivery. For a conversation today, I sat down with Bob Ainsbury, Chief Product Officer at Granicus, an expert on improving federal customer experiences with technology. I hope you enjoy our conversation today. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me, Bob. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Thank you, Lucas. It's a real privilege to be asked on here, and I love your work. So looking forward to the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you. Let's go ahead and jump into the first question. So data can be a powerful driver for transforming how federal agencies deliver services. How can agencies take the data available to them to create meaningful customer experiences?
First, I love that data is being connected to experiences. It's the secret sauce. You might imagine that agencies are swimming in data. Ironically, what we've witnessed at Granicus is that most operators, you know, analysts inside agencies, see the experience more like being in a data desert. So there's a couple of reasons why the data isn't as prolific as you might imagine. One is it's the old traditional one of silos. Data is often stored in separate, detached, and quite candidly, uncooperative systems. So if this data is locked away, it's hard to get to. You know, some agencies have tried valiantly to kind of break the silos. They built data warehouses, and they may have done that as long as 5 years ago. The trouble is there, Lucas, that the security and privacy goals have stepped in, and it's turned the warehouse not into a place for sharing of information, but into a vault where very few people have permission to get to the data. You know, the better way, especially in the context of experience and using data intact experience, is around a data mesh. I'm going to talk more about this at the Granicus GE3 summit later in the month, actually in DC. But a data mesh is a modern solution. It allows different data sources from different places spread around the agency and maybe even third-party systems like Granicus's to feel like and operate like it's in one place. Once you're armed with that data, back to your question, you can create personalized experiences. You know, if a pilot searches, let's say, the FAA, you might expect that she will get very different results to when a frequent flyer like me searches, right? So the personalization is central to the experience, and it's personalized experiences that require the data. So honestly, every agency needs to rethink data so that they can rethink customer experience. That was a mouthful, but remember, Lucas, I'm a technical guy.
No, that was great. So yeah. As younger generations begin interacting with the federal government, what can agencies do to improve communication and service delivery in a way that builds trust?
Well, first and foremost, every service, every interaction in the provision of that service needs to be digital first. State the obvious. You know, the younger generations, let's be candid, they were raised on iPods when they were in a stroller, and iPads, I should say. Now they connect with buddies on Discord in middle school. And so Lord knows what those expectations are from a service level from government. You know, 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, we talked about interactions. So not the younger generation, but the middle generation talked about customer experience meant, were you able to complete the application? Did you get the grant application in, as an example? If you look at what's happening in our private lives, things have changed. You know, when the order's placed and the item's in stock, you know, when it's shipped, you might even know on which plane the item is. You know, how many stops before the delivery truck gets to your apartment or your house, you might even get a photo of where the item's placed. That's the younger generation digital experience first. Now, agencies must use these paradigms when providing services. I don't expect to go from 0 to 100, but people have to think about from start to satisfaction rather than just submission. That's the big change. Were you able to get the service? Let's say a grant is the real question, not were you able to apply for it. Where is it in the process? When will I get my passport back and so forth? So the application process needs to expand. That's what the younger generation needs, and all of it's got to be digital. And it's back to that personalized experience. I think it's true for younger or older generations. Experiences that demonstrate understanding are the superior ones. Let's not ask a 25-year-old if they're on Medicare as a silly example. So yeah, it's digitization at every step, Lucas, and full cycle. They want the outcome. It's not that they want to have a nice web form or whatever might be on older generations' minds.
Yeah, I mean, like, how difficult is it, for example, like, say you're ordering a passport or renewing your passport online, how difficult is it to track it along its journey and keep the user updated? Is that a modernization issue or is it a staffing issue?
It's a modernization issue. It's a great question. So I'm not making this about me, but seems to be travel's a theme today. But when I go to Australia and I need to get a permit, permission to get there, the step that you're at, the stage you're at, and the process is all digitized one. And in the case of Australia, it happens within 60 minutes and you get notifications. So there is no need for a process. In the UK, getting a passport, then you'll get the stages that it goes. And so the mindset, the way this is achieved is instead of thinking about the interaction, the front door, the website or whatever, it's digitization of the process within the agency. So digitizing the stages that people go through. Once it's digitized and you know that this has been passed from department one to department two and you've used workflow to do it, then revealing that to the recipient of this, the person waiting for it, is not that much of a challenge. So I think a common mistake was a surgeon CX to do the front door, but not doing the necessary work in improving the operations. So it's hard if you haven't digitized your operations. And when you think CX, think outcomes and full process and think about the whole digitization. And it's maybe obvious, but in doing that, you actually improve efficiency and reduce the need for people who are tracking. So no more is it a pile of, I don't know, papers in an inbox, which used to be the old model and old paradigm. It's digitally in someone's inbox and that's known and that can be recorded. So part of what we do at Granicus is help our customers digitize their processes along with their interactions.
How do agencies interact with constituents using text or SMS services as compared to traditional methods like call center or in-person services?
A couple of things. Our customers send over a billion text messages a year to the communities they serve, individuals and businesses in the community. So we get a lot of interactions to look at. And as you might expect, the response rates to SMS are far higher than the response to email, just like you and I respond more to text than we do to email. So one of the important things in text is the transition away from a one-way communication into a two-way texting solution. So in the past, you might have seen a solution, and we had some of these in days gone by, where it says, enter Y for yes, or N for no, or pick a number between 1 and 6. And it was very staid and very crusty and prone to error. And nowadays, we've released an interactive two-way text solution as an example, Lucas, that has AI and ML behind it. So instead of saying enter Y for yes or N for no, the system asks the question without guiding the prompt. So an example would be someone might reply a yes, or they might reply Y, or they might reply C. If it's in Texas, they might reply you bet, or sure, or whatever it might be. And AI and ML can interpret all of those as affirmative or positive responses. Similarly, from a negative point of view, it could be no, no way, I don't think so, not today. All of them would be negative. It's just a simple example of interpreting the text using AI and ML to pull out the intention. So in two-way texting now, you can start to, one, get response, and two, get interactions, but avoiding the need to make SMS feel like a form, if you will. So another example, we've got a solution that says, please enter your full name. And so I put in Grandpa Bob, and it will say, apologies, we need your full name first, middle, initial, and last, so that we can complete your application process. And so it reminds me that Grandpa Bob isn't in fact calcified in the system now as my name, and interjects with that way. So if you've used a modern chatbot or you've used any form of AIML, you'll get a sense of how it's able to interpret your intentions and end up in conversations. And so we find this is extremely powerful as a way to get interactions and to guide people and give them the experience. So just like you might text your mom or your daughter or your friend, you can interact with the government in that way with AIML through the back end. One more quick example, Lucas, that we're implementing is a reminder to come forward. You've got, let's say you've got a job application and you've got to come forward for something to join the federal government, let's say. So you'll get a reminder by text message, just a reminder, your meeting at such and such is tomorrow at 10 a.m. Are you going to make it? Yes, I am. Great. Don't forget to bring your proof of identity and something else. Are you able to bring those with you? No, I'm not. I don't have a proof of identity. And then the engagement can occur. Do you want us to change the appointment? All of that done manually, done automatically without any manual intervention. So SMS is a gateway to those kind of capabilities. We're offering them on web as well too. So are other vendors. So SMS is really important for that interaction, but it's also a pathway into, you know, natural language processing, which is super powerful. I really meandered there, Lucas, but hope that made sense.
No, yeah, I definitely did. I mean, it was very helpful drawing the difference between the old version of SMS with using one or Y to confirm. Yeah. And you really painted a great picture of how it's evolved and how it can continue to evolve to be a lot more personalized. And it seems like then in the future, it will decrease the need to even call for that matter. And it seems like most of it could be handled via SMS or text, which is really interesting.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's this kind of a measurement of how effective you are in your customer experience is the reduction you have in support calls through whatever form. It might even be an email. So it's kind of the proof of the pudding of having a satisfactory experience is the reduction in calls. And so we recommend measuring those as a direct real-time measurement. Good point.
Now, what are some examples of agencies that have used data insights to create the desired outcomes for the end user?
End of the month, we'll actually have some people from these organizations will be explaining in some depth what we've done with data to improve outcomes. So I'll have to keep it brief here. And that's at the Granica Summit. One of them is CMS. We partner with CMS to make sure the people who need it get health insurance, whether that's through the health insurance marketplace, whether it's with Medicare and other areas. And we send, by the way, for CMS, or they send using our systems, billions of emails and SMS messages for what it's worth. And our team, the Granicus Experience Group, use the platform to help them leverage the data. They use segmentation to send the right message to the right people. The CMS team really understands data. It's been a flagship for us and has helped form some of the strength of our technology. And by the way, they use a data mesh, the thing I mentioned earlier, to connect their data mesh with our data mesh so that we can fuse our data with theirs. The result of that one is that, you know, 2024 ACA open enrollment broke another record again this year. And it was all thanks to the power of data, of connecting the right people with the insurance programs that fit for them. Another one that I really like, Lucas, it's the Department of Labor. It's Hire Vets Medallion Program. This is that get vets employed after completing their military service. And the program's outreach has become increasingly sophisticated, the segmentation on various attributes. And this isn't just connecting with vets, but this is connecting with employers. And we've got data like the location of the employer, the application status, the employer size that drove increasingly relevant and tailored communications. So by connecting vets with the kind of organizations using the data on those organizations, there's been significant, I think, where's the number? Let me find it here. 127% increase in accepted applications to the program. So we're able to point the vets to the places that have a proclivity and intention to hire vets. And it's just another example of using data about the vet, using data about the employer, and connecting the two. And once you do that, you get traction. So those are a couple. We have hundreds more. Just to mention this, by the way, we've got an agency inside. It's called the Granicus Experience Group, or GXG. And they work with our customers to drive impact and get these outcomes. They're involved in both of those, both CMS and Department of Labor and others. And they understand the needs of agencies and they understand how to connect with the public. So our technology is combined with that team, basically.
Yeah, thanks for those examples. It's great. Now, Bob, before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
At the risk of getting some eyes rolled to the listeners, I do want to talk about the importance of AI and ML, touched on a little bit in the use of SMS and interaction. The way I see it, Lucas, within a couple of years, there'll be two classes of agencies. The first class is agencies that embraced AI and ML to fuel their digitization and customer experience efforts. And the second class is agencies that have fallen woefully behind. I'll give you an example of a chart. If people are thinking traditionally, they work with teams and they get some data and they want to build some charts and they think about a dashboard. With AI ML, instead of having to ask IT to build some SQL or getting an analyst to create the new dashboard for you, you can do something like, say, build a chart comparing subscriber income levels with their application activity. And voila, you will get a chart. It's just one example. It doesn't all have to be scary generative AI. There's a tremendous set of impact that one can receive as an agency around natural language processing. We manifested it here on SMS, but it's true in all sorts of interactions with the system. So if you're thinking it's a fad, it isn't a fad. There's a lot more happening behind the scenes. We've been active in AI ML since 2022, for what it's worth. And I just encourage the listeners, do not be an AI ML denier. Think about how you can embrace AI ML in cautious and thoughtful ways, and we can help you with that. History's shown that denial is never a winning strategy.
Thank you, Bob, for joining us today, and a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you're interested in staying up to date on the latest best practices and proven strategies for leveraging innovative technology in federal, state, and local government, be sure to visit governmenttechnologyinsider.com. I'm your host, Lucas Hunsker, and until next time, so long.